This morning I want to talk about your path to a miracle. Your path to a miracle. And I'm going to do some teaching. And usually when I say that, I end up preaching. But I'm going to try to teach this because I think that's what it calls for. I so desperately want to see people come into an encounter with God. I want to see us have a new passion and hunger for the things of God, an awakening, life-changing. And I pray this morning that through this word that something is, it's like a switch is flipped inside and you see something you've never saw before and you decide, I'm going after that. I loved what Scott shared about audacious prayers, bold prayers. The word of God says the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence. The kingdom of heaven is a force that is engaged with other forces. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and wickedness in high places. It calls for breakthrough. It calls for breaking through the things that would hinder us and get in our way. There's a path that takes me to my place of miracle with God. Father, we love you so much. And Lord, I know that I'm nothing. I'm just a vessel, Lord. Like John said, just a voice crying in the wilderness. Just that's all. But Lord, a voice that has been commissioned to proclaim the word of God. And I ask you to take this word to our hearts today and encourage us with it, Lord. Do something new in our lives. In the name of Jesus, and everyone said, amen. Amen. The first thing I want to talk about in this path to your miracle is the presence of God. When Jesus was leaving the earth, they were discouraged. He said, guys, I'm leaving. I'm not going to be around anymore. And they were like, oh, that's not good. He said, it's okay. I'm going to send another comforter. The word another in the Greek, there's two words for another in the Greek. One is another of a different kind, and the other is another of the same kind. Jesus used the word another of the same kind. He was saying, I'm going to send you another comforter just like me. And he sent the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is God's agent in the earth. Everything God does in the earth, in our lives, he does through the Spirit of God. So Jesus left, but he left his presence with us. The Spirit or the presence of God. Amen? And I love the presence of God. I love experiencing the presence of God, having an encounter with the presence of God. And when God's people come together, there's a corporate anointing that we bring together that cultivates that presence of God, and it literally fills the house. And when the presence of God fills the house, God is there to meet with us. Let me read you this verse in Luke chapter 5 and verse 17. And I want you to look at this. It says, it happened on a certain day as he was teaching that there were Pharisees and teachers of the law sitting by who had come out of every town of Galilee, Judea, and Jerusalem. Now listen to this. And the power of the Lord was present to heal them. The power of the Lord was present. That's the presence. That's the presence. The power of the Lord. The power of the Lord is in the presence. The power of the Lord was present to heal them. There is healing. There are miracles in the presence of the Lord. You know, as a pastor and as a minister, you know, one of the most beautiful things that we ever see here, and it happens periodically, people just get up and start coming to the altar. Nobody gives an altar call. You'll see people just get up from their seat. There'd be powerful worship going and a powerful anointing. And it's just the presence of God. And that presence of God, like a long arm, is reaching out there and grabbing hold of you and just pulling on you. And you can't hardly resist it. And I've seen people get up from their seats weeping and broken, and they come and they just kneel to the front. Nobody gave an altar call, man. They just start coming. And it's funny because when that happens, it's usually several. And it's because there's a presence, a drawing, wooing presence. And when the presence of God shows up like that, it's not uncommon that people are spontaneously healed. Nobody lays hands on them. There's not a healing service. There's not a healing word. It's just, why is that happening? It's happening because the presence of God is present to heal. It's happening because the power of God is present to heal. And it's just the presence of the Lord that's doing the healing. There's healing in His presence. You know, every time God shows up, it's different. We should never expect every Sunday at church to be exactly the same. And if it is the same, then something's probably wrong. Because God moves in different ways. God does different things. Sometimes we lock God out. You know, it's like we have a formula, and this is what we're going to do. And God's like, could I have a minute? You know, could I come up on the platform for a little while? And they're like, well, you know, not really. Because we got to be out of here at a certain time. That's not how God moves. And we have to be open to the idea that one week we might come in here and just sing, just worship. Another, we might come in here and just pray for one another. Another time, we might come in here and hear a powerful sermon of exhortation, encouragement. Another time, we might come and just hear good teaching. Another time, we might come and the healing power of the Lord is being manifested. I mean, it's just different. And that's because the presence of God manifests himself in different ways for different purposes. So we have to be open to the idea that the presence of God is here and the presence of God is going to do something extraordinary. And it may not be what I think, but that's okay. It's okay. It's okay to walk out of church and go, it was different today. You know, it's a little different today. But that's the variety of the presence and the way that God moves. Another way God heals is through His Word. There are, back in the 1950s, there were great healing crusades that were taking place. They were putting up the big tents and the great, you know, A.A. Allen and Oral Roberts and Kenneth Hagin and some of the great men that flowed in ministries of healing. And there were the presence of God, the power of God was present to heal in those services. And in that season and in that time, God was doing extraordinary things. But Oral Roberts made a statement one time about some of those great revivalists that God used in healing got so sick in their bodies, and a lot of them died relatively young. And Oral Roberts and Kenneth Hagin both lived well enough, you know, in their years. But Oral Roberts made a statement that those men walked in the healing presence of God. They saw the presence of God. They saw the power of God present to heal. But those men did not necessarily understand healing by the power of God's word. They experienced healing, corporate healing, and the power of healing, but they didn't. And Oral Roberts, when I read that, I thought, you know, that makes a lot of sense. Because what it means is they did not know how to receive healing from the word of God. They understood the big corporate when healing was flowing through them to others. And sometimes God does work that way. Sometimes God works through gifts of healing and gifts of faith and through the presence and in those big corporate meetings. But sometimes it comes from meditation upon the Word of God. Getting the Word of God in you. Because when you get the Word of God in you, it's like putting a medicine in you. It's like putting healing. I'm telling you, if you concentrate on the Word of God, you can walk in health. You can walk in healing if you focus on God's word, not the sickness. Not focusing on the negative, but focusing on the positive. He says, I have set before you life and death. Right? So he's talking about choice. You have a choice of choosing life or choosing death. You can walk in the ways of life or you can walk in the ways of death. Proverbs 4:20 says, my son, give attention to my word. Incline your ear to my sayings. Listen to me. Pay attention to my word. Are we really listening to God? How do I listen to God? Read the word. I mean, what's he saying to us? Just listen. He says, incline your ear. Just listen to me. Don't let them depart from your eyes. Keep the word of God before you. And he says, keep them in your heart. Hold them inside. Embrace them. For they are life to those who find them. And listen to this. And health to their flesh. Did you see that? The word of God is life to those who discover them. To those who the word of God is revealed to them. The word of God is life. And it is health to their flesh. Somebody say amen. The word of God has healing power as you begin to feed on it and trust in it and believe in it and grow in it and understand it. It's amazing. This is the word of God. This is the most underused weapon. It's like we have a spiritual atomic bomb at our disposal. You know? And people are getting beat up pretty good by the enemy, and they got this big weapon, and they never use it because they don't know how. They don't know how. Because we don't understand it. It hasn't been revealed because we're not focusing on the word of God. Don't let it depart from your eyes. Keep it before you. Keep it in your heart. Here's what I'm talking about. I referred to... In some ways, this message is a continuation of last week. Your title deed. This is kind of part two. But you know, last week I talked about how easy it is for us to believe for our salvation. How many of you know you're saved? Raise your hands. We do that so easily, but we struggle so much with all the other promises of God. We cannot apply that same simple faith to healing. Suddenly it's complicated. Suddenly it's hard. Suddenly it's got all these conditions and we just start adding all these things. But I want you to understand that forgiveness and healing are in the atonement. And the Bible teaches us that. They are tied together. How many times have you noticed in the Bible where he says, like, Jesus forgave their sins and then what? He healed them. What are you seeing there? Forgiveness and healing are tied together. You know why they're tied together? Because sin and sickness is tied together. I'm not talking about all of you out there in gross sin. That's not what I'm talking about when I use the word sin here. Sin is anything that separates me from God. Sin is anything that gets between me and God. And that can be little things. But when I walk in a way that's not in line and in harmony with God, my body and my health and my well-being is all affected by that. But when I walk in harmony, when I walk in harmony with the purposes of God, then I put myself in a position of walking in health before the Lord. Amen? So that's why healing and forgiveness are tied together. And we must understand and believe in the healing nature of God. It's God's nature to minister to you. It's God's nature to love you. It's God's nature to heal you. That's just the nature of God. He doesn't want to withhold from you. He wants to bless you. He wants to pour out on you. The Bible says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Now, let me explain this, because if it was just as simple as hearing the word of God, we could all go home and get us some CDs of the Bible and just listen to the Bible all the time and be like, that solve everything. But it's more than that. That's part of it. Faith comes by hearing. Hearing is understanding, receiving. And hearing, receiving, and revelation comes through the Word of God. There is, through the Word of God, there is a revelation. It's the Word of God that brings that light and that understanding to me. So when we read the word hearing there, we're just thinking of our ears, but he's talking about a lot more than what just comes in through your ears. He's talking about hearing and seeing and having it, holding it in your heart. And that is that word. How many of you have ever been reading? You all know this. You've all experienced it. How many of you have been reading a passage of scripture and it just exploded off the page? I never saw that before. That is really cool. You know, and if you're like me, when that happens, you go, well, if that's true, then this must be true. And if that's true, then this, and you start, it opens up a whole new, you know, a whole vein, a whole new path that you start running down. You get real excited about that I just never saw that. That is just so awesome. That's what I'm talking about. When that explosion happens, when that moment happens, you've had a moment of hearing by the Word of God. You've had a moment when you really, really heard or understood or saw. And once that explodes within you, nobody can take it away from you. Nobody can take it away from you. That's one of the things that I tell people. One of the things we encourage about our children is having an experience with the presence of God. I want to tell you something. I had encounters with God's presence as a child that never got away from me, and I couldn't run from it. The Bible says, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good." How many of you loved cheeseburgers before you got saved? How many of you liked cheeseburgers after you got saved? Oh, because they're good. And once you taste that, and you know, all of you know, as we get older, I'm at that place where I'm trying to make some lifestyle changes. It's not easy. Why? Because I remember how it tastes. Come on, church. I can remember how it tastes. And those ribs are good. You know? And that apple pie is good. And so we remember, and I know growing up, once you taste the Lord, once you taste His goodness, once you taste His glory, once you taste His power, you can never get away from that. And you can run from it, you can try, but you can never, because you've tasted it, you've touched it, you've experienced it, you've had that explosion, and nobody can ever, you could never. I might have been running from God, but you could never come to me and say, God's not real. You could never have convinced me of that. I'd have looked at you and said, you know, I might not be living right, but I'm telling you, God's real. I've touched Him. I've seen it. I've tasted it. I've been in the glory. I know what it's all about. Amen? Even though sometimes we're not where we ought to be, we know, because we've had that revelation, and that's the Word of God. So as I focus on the Word and I read the Word, and that Word starts to get into me, that Word becomes health to me, life to me, and the healing power. And you can literally, has nothing to do with great big revival meeting the presence of God. It just has to do with cultivating the Word of God in your life. And you walk according to that Word, and you walk in healing, and you walk in strength. Amen? When I feel the enemy trying to put something on me, I start reminding myself of what the Word says, what the Word of God says, and who the Word of God says I am, and who I am in Christ, and getting that Word, and I can feel strength just starting to flow from that Word. Amen. The other way, there's presence, there's the Word, and the other is faith. Faith is, we know without, the Bible says without faith it is impossible to please God. Take up the shield of faith. We know faith is an important part of this ingredient, and it's the thing we probably least understand. So let me try to help you with that a little bit this morning. Galatians 2:20 says, I have been crucified with Christ. How many of you have been crucified with Christ? Well, then the rest of this verse applies to you. I have been crucified with Christ, but it is no longer I who live. Why don't you just go ahead and die? Why are you fighting so hard? Why do we fight God so hard? He says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live. Get something in your house, find a big piece of paper, and write the words, no longer I, on it. And stick it on your refrigerator. No longer I. There's power in that. But Christ lives in me. Now listen to this. And the life which I now live, that is the Christian life, right? The life that I now live in the flesh, this life that I'm living every day, I live by the faith of the Son of God that is in me. Wow. I live by the faith of the Son of God. Listen. Glenn, how does that work? Because the Bible says everybody's been given a measure of faith. Where does that come from? Where does that faith? It's the faith of the Son of God. It's the faith of God. If you come to me and say, Glenn, I don't have any faith, I'm like, well, you should have. You were given some. What'd you do with it? Look around because it's somewhere. Maybe you misplaced it, you neglected it, you forgot about it, but God gave you a measure of faith. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
He gave you something to what? Start with. Right? Every one of us. Now that's cool. That's really good. He gave you something to start with. He gave you a measure of faith, and it's the faith of the Son of God. It's not my faith. It's the faith of the Son of God. Here's why that's important. How many times in the Bible do you hear Jesus saying, your faith has made you whole? You're healed because of your faith. This happened because of your faith. Tell me that's not important. It's important. Your faith has made you whole. He has given us a measure of faith. Now, here's what I want you to see. Faith is like a fruit and like a gift. It works in two ways. Faith is like a fruit and it's like a gift. Let's talk about faith as a fruit. Fruit grows. Fruit has to mature. Fruit has to develop. So what is this teaching me? It's teaching me that my faith, my measure of faith can grow. My measure of faith can mature. My measure of faith can become more fruitful. My measure of faith can become stronger through all the things we've been talking about, through the presence and through the word. But the fruit of my faith can grow and can develop as I mature in the Lord. And so the measure of faith that I was given is now bigger and stronger and more mature and more developed and more understanding. But faith can also come as a gift. That is a gift of faith. Let me tell you what a gift of faith is. It is a sudden installment of God's confidence. A gift of faith is a sudden installment of God's confidence. A lot of ministers and a lot of people who flow in gifts of healing have gifts of faith. Gifts of faith is a supernatural endowment of faith. It comes over you and it's just, you just know God's about to do something. And some of you may have experienced this in your life in ministry. You just know God's about to do something for you. Several years ago, we had one of the teenagers in our church diagnosed with a disease. And she came forward on a Sunday night. I don't know how many of you would even remember this. I'm not going to call any names. But she was very, very sick. The doctors had diagnosed her with a disease. And she came forward, and her mother came with her, and her mother told me about the disease. And I was standing in front of her, and I'm telling you, This thing came over me, a boldness, a knowing, and I started speaking to that young girl, and I said, you're healed in the name of Jesus. You can go to the doctor. You can find it out, but it's done. And I'm telling you, it's like there was no doubt. I just knew it. And I remember thinking, how do I know that? But I just know it. And there was no hesitation. It was just, and I spoke it out. Thereby, we all rejoiced. A lady in the church who was one of our teachers, well respected. I love her. But she came to me and she said, Brother Glenn, that was bold. Now that family's got all their hopes up. They're leaving here tonight with their hopes all up and encouraged because of what you said. And well, what if you're wrong? I'm not wrong. How do you know? How can you know? I don't know. I just know, but I don't know how. But I'm telling you, what I told her is right. And she was like, and I understood her heart because I understand that. She's like, well, but that was such a bold thing to say. And this family is, well, guess what happened? You know what happened. They went right back to the doctor where the doctor had told them. And the doctor, they ran all these tests. And they came back and told her, we don't know, but it's gone. It's gone in the name of Jesus. And today, this young lady is a very successful businesswoman. But it had nothing to do with me. I'm nothing. I'm nobody. But it was a gift of faith. It's just, so there's faith that grows and matures and develops. Amen? And then sometimes there's just a gift of supernatural faith where God just pours it out. Now, let's look at these levels of faith, and then we're going to close and we're going to have prayer. Because God wants us to develop and cultivate a level of faith, believing. You know how sometimes we'll have services and everybody's just, and it's like, wow. Folks, God doesn't, that doesn't have to be just every once in a while. That can be a lifestyle. I wish we'd learned that lesson. I wish we would learn that you don't have to come in here every week and try to work something up. But come in, it's already there. You walk in an atmosphere of faith and of healing. Let me go through these levels of faith, and then I'm going to pray, because some of you are going to be right here, okay? And I, a little bit, going a little longer today. Remember the man that came to Jesus and said, this is like the lowest level of faith I can think of. He came to Jesus and he said, if you can do anything. I don't even know if you can do anything. This is somebody coming to God saying, I'm not sure you can do anything. That's about as low as you can get. That's like, I've got no faith. I don't even know if you can do anything. I don't even know if any of this is real. That's where he's at. He said, I don't know if you can do anything. So he came to Jesus and said, if you can. And Jesus looked at him and said, no, if you can. You're asking the wrong question. You're asking, can I do anything? Can you believe? He was saying, if you can do anything. And Jesus said, no, if you can. But I want you to see something here. And this is important to our prayer time this morning. He did the miracle anyway. Come on, church. Y'all need to see this. Jesus said, he said, no, it's do you believe? Can you believe? And what did the man say? Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. I'm struggling here. I don't know if I, you know what he's saying? I don't know if I believe or not. I'm trying. It's where I am. Well, how many of you think when you're not, I mean, if you're standing over on the sidelines, you're going, we're likely not going to see a miracle here. God don't even believe. He's not even sure God can do anything, right? But guess what? Oh, church. Guess what? There was a miracle. Jesus was trying to teach the man, your faith can grow. Your faith can mature. You don't have to walk in this place of unbelief and doubt. You can walk in a place of faith. However, I'm a loving, gracious God, and I'm going to meet you right where you are. Hallelujah. I just love that. And he healed him anyway. Now, there was another little level of faith. In Matthew 5, the leper came to Jesus and he said, if you are willing. I know you can, but I'm not sure you're willing. I'm not sure you want to. And we get that way sometimes. We're at that level. I know God, but I'm not sure God's willing. What did Jesus say to the leper? I am willing. He just says it plainly. I am willing. I'm ready. Then there was another level in Mark 8. It says they brought a blind man and asked Jesus to touch him. Lord, if you would just come touch him. We believe if you would touch him, something would happen. The first guy didn't believe anything. He just wasn't sure at all. The second believed that God probably wasn't willing. The third says, we believe if you come touch, you'll be healed. And then in Mark 6:56, it says, this is our fourth one, whenever he entered into villages, cities, or the countries, they laid the sick in the marketplace and begged him that they might just touch the hem of his garment. And as many as touched him were made well. So now we've got another level of faith that says, if I can just touch him. If I can just touch him when he's walking by. If I can just grab his clothes. That's pretty good faith. So we got the guy who don't believe anything. We got the guy who says, I don't know if you're even willing. I know you can, but the first guy says, I don't know if you can. The second guy says, I know you can, but I'm not sure you want to. The third says, if you'll come touch me. The fourth says, if I could touch you. If I could just touch your garment. But there was a fifth. In Matthew 8, the centurion comes to Jesus. And it says, Jesus had entered Capernaum. A centurion came to him, pleading with him. And he said, Lord, my servant is dying at home, paralyzed. And Jesus said, I will come and heal him. And he said, no, Lord, I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof. But if you'll speak a word, my servant will be healed. For listen to this, for also I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this one, go, and he goes. And I tell another one to come, and he comes. And to my servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard that, he marveled. And he said to those who followed, I tell you, I haven't seen this kind of faith in all of Israel. Why did Jesus say that? Because this was the highest. He said, this guy understood kingdom authority. He understood that Jesus was sent from the Father. And because he was a representative of the Father, because he came from God, he had authority. And he walked in that authority. And that Roman soldier said, I understand authority because I'm under authority. I have people over me that I represent them, and they have given me authority out there on that battlefield. And when I tell somebody something, it's done. Not because of me, but because I'm under authority. And he looked at Jesus and said, I know you're under authority. I know that you come from God, and if you just speak the word, it will be done. Folks, how many of you understand that you're under authority? And you have the authority of God in the name of Jesus. Now, I want to ask Daniel to come back to the keyboard. So we're going to close and we're going to pray. Jesus marveled at this level of faith because he had this perception of kingdom authority. His own experience taught him. Demons had to respond to what Jesus said because of who Jesus was. And the same is true of you. You can walk in that level of authority. We don't all do it. That's a mature level of understanding, of kingdom perception, to understand that you have that kind of authority. This man didn't believe he had that authority, but he knew Jesus did. When you know that you walk in that level of authority. Now, here's what I want to say. Here's what hit me about this. The guy says, I don't believe, I'm not sure you can do anything. Right? That's pretty low. Second guy says, I think you probably can, but I'm not sure you will. Third guy says, if you'd come touch us. The fourth says, if we could touch you. The fifth says, man, just say the word. Just speak the word. Here's what I want you to see. At every one of these levels, from the weakest to the greatest, everyone was healed. Whew. Boy, that just flowed over me. I'm telling you, from the weakest to the greatest, everyone was healed. Now, what determined their healing? The level of their faith. That's what determined their healing. For some, it was pretty weak. But it was something. Do you hear me? For some, it was kind of weak. But it was something. For others, it was way more mature. They had insight and understanding. But at every level, Jesus met them right where they were. I want you to stand with me. You might be here this morning, and you might be saying, Glenn, I don't know, man. I don't know if I don't know what I believe. I don't know if God can do all the things you say He can do. I don't know if He can. Maybe that's where you are. Maybe that's where you are. But if you'll come and meet Him, guess what? He'll meet you right where you are. Or maybe you're one of those that's saying, I just need Him to come touch me. I just need Him to come touch me. I believe if He'll touch me, I'll be better. You see, in every one of these situations, I love this, those that said, Lord, if you'll come touch me, or I can touch you, or you know what? In every one of those cases, Jesus could have just spoken the word. Like with the centurion. He had the power. But what did he do? For those that needed a touch, he went and touched them. For those that wanted to reach out and take hold of his garment, he let them. He met them just where they were. He met them in their need, and he'll meet you in your need this morning. While Daniel's singing this song, if you have a specific need, and I want it to be specific, and I want you to think of that thing right now. This is the miracle that I need. And I don't care where your level of faith is. While he's singing this, I want you to come stand in the front. We're going to pray. We're going to believe for miracles.